All right, we're back right now with a wonderful moment here today, and I'm glad that we're here today, and I got some monitors on here, so let me just take care of that in a moment. It's great to know. I have probably one of the most talented tenors around. He told me to tell you that. he told me to tell you that. The group, the Booth Brothers, according to what I understand, have won more awards than any single group in Southern Gospel in the last 30 years. I was in a meeting song fest with them, concert, about 2 weeks ago, and Bill Bailey got on the stage and said that, and that was just great. So, Mike, welcome to Grace Point Radio and the Freedom Program.
Well, Pastor, it's great to be on here with you. I think this is the first time we've done this.
Yeah, we just haven't connected for some reason, you know.
Yeah.
I've had everybody. I had Ronnie on. I had Paul Lasseter on. And finally got you, Michael. So I'm glad you're with us today. Thank you for joining us.
You saved the last for last.
That's right. I figured, who's the last person I can get? I really needed an interview. And I thought of you.
Well, I'm honored to be here. We go back a long way. Do you remember? I think it was probably 98, 99, maybe.
Wow. Yeah, I know that.
It
goes way back. I remember I got a call. I don't know if it was from your dad or from, I don't know if Bill was producing you right now or promoting you. But one day, phone rang, and voice said, Pastor Zimmer, I said, yes. And he said, will you do me a favor? I said, if I can. And they said, there's a group out there called the Booth Brothers. And the person, I think it was Bill. I really do. I don't think it was your dad. And he said, would you do me a favor? I said, sure. And he said, would you allow these groups to come? I said, yeah, that'll be fine. Bring them on. And we talked it a while, and we set it up. And that began a lifetime of friendship with you guys.
Yeah, it sure did.
Yeah, when you guys came, the church just fell in love with you.
Yeah.
And who are these guys? And they're the Booth Brothers, and Dad was with you at the time. Ronnie and you were the Booth Brothers, and you came, and your dad, of course, and Ronnie, and the people said, we want to have these people back. I said, are you sure? And they said...
Yeah, man, that was back in the old little van and the 6x4 Jartran trailer. We were just long before Bill Gaither or any record contracts, all that stuff, you know. We just wanted to get out there and sing. And it was guys like you and churches like that gave us a place to go and to get in front of people and to learn and to love on people and be loved back. It was a sweet time, Ron, to be honest with you. There's a lot of minutiae that comes along with growth. But back then it was pretty simple.
It sure was. And every time I needed a group, I called you guys and you came, and I almost hired all of you to be my ministers of music. I almost had a house for you guys next door, families and everything.
No. We did sing there a lot, and the funny thing is, every time you called, we were available.
It wasn't like, let me check our calendar. It's like, yeah, we'll come.
I know. I just sang recently. I do a lot of solo kind. The group doesn't sing as many dates as we used to sing about 150 times a year. Now we sing about 50. Long story short, that's because when Ronnie and Paul left, I hired Jim Brady and Buddy Mullins, and they each have their own ministry that keeps them pretty busy. And I knew that going into it, but again, long story short, they are worth it, and I believe they're the men I'm supposed to be singing with. But that allows me to do some things I've not done and maybe ever, really, and that's go out by myself and be able to sing and minister in some smaller venues. And so last couple weeks ago, I was in Virginia, And there was a pastor that we used to sing for in Lakeland, Florida, not far from you, about as much as we sang for you. And it was so great to just be able to walk in there and reminisce and sing to his people. It was a beautiful day.
Well, that's, yeah. See, well, you reconnected with your roots is what you did.
Exactly. Exactly. And again, like I said, it was simpler times. And I think that's probably why I enjoy these the solo gigs that I do. And don't get me wrong, I still enjoy the Booth Brother things. It's just there's a lot more involved.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you're going out and you're doing now what you haven't done in a long time, because you and the Booth Brothers, you know, all the different combinations that you've had, all the way back from your dad and then Joseph and then all the way through the remaining stuff and things change and all the guys that were with you and they went on, you know, God called them somewhere else, and that's the way life is. And the combinations were fantastic. And what's always amazing is that no matter who you put on the stage with, you and Ronnie, the harmonies were there. The harmonies were there. And then when Ronnie left and he brought in Buddy, you didn't miss anything. And then when I heard Ronnie the other day on that, you know, fantastic reunion in Waimama just a few days ago, it was like Ronnie never left, and the guys were just with that. And it was fantastic. It was a fantastic time.
Very special. Very special. Yeah. And Lord willing, we'll do a few more of those. We got one coming up in Branson, Missouri. Coming up. It's going to be in the fall. I think we're together with Ronnie two times in the fall here. So that'll be very special.
Yeah. And we appreciate everything you've done. You know, think of your dad and his history as the Booth Brothers back in the day.
Yeah.
And the history of that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you guys, I remember you were starting out and you were singing and of course Ronnie singing and your dad. And it was such a blessing, because I've always told you, Michael, and the General Booth Brothers, this when Joseph was there, I think. You were in the church one day and you did a homecoming for us. And I remember it was like you sung in the morning, and then in the afternoon we had a sing with you, and people came in from all over the community. Because back then you were gaining popularity, and now you're at the top of the list. Everybody knows about the Booth Brothers. And I had, by the way, I had someone say to me, "Do you actually know Michael Booth?" I'm telling you.
And you know more than you probably should know.
Yes, I do. And yeah. I said, "Who? I'm not sure who you're talking about."
Right.
I said, "I never heard of Michael Booth. I heard John Wilkes Booth.
There you go.
But I never heard of Michael."
I have discovered not everybody knows I'm famous. It's a well-kept secret in some place.
That's right. That's right. Margaret was put on TCT the other day. She's working in the office, and she says, "Hey, Ron, guess who's on?" I said, "Oh, no, not them." So I went, and there I went to the office, and there you were. You know, you guys were somewhere, and you were saying, you know, singing some great songs. I said, "Yeah, I think I know these guys." And Margaret said, "I don't know if you do or not." I said, "Yeah, I do. Who's that one guy? Oh, I know who that is. That's Jim Brady. I don't know those two other guys standing there."
Yeah,
so
they're irrelevant.
Yeah, who cares?
But that's awesome.
But I remember when you came that one day and you did some homecomings. The funniest thing you did, I'll tell you about in a minute. You came, and it was a Sunday afternoon. We had the homecoming, and people came in from all over the community because you were getting very popular. And I looked out, and I saw a lot of people that were community people. You know, they didn't go to church, but community. And they came in, and I spoke to them. "Oh, you know the Booth Brothers. Yeah, we want to hear them, so and so." But one thing that happened that one Sunday that has impacted me, when when we had a break and we began to pray for you guys, and the Spirit of God began to minister to you and to Joseph and to Ron. And somebody, I'm not down at the piano bench, but you were all there, and God began to minister to you and touch you. And I'm saying you as the brothers. I'm saying this as a group.
Yeah.
And God began to help you and strengthen you. And I told you something. And I saw it happen. I told you that God was going to use you guys in the most unusual way if you stay humble the way you are now. And
yeah,
you stay. Remember that, Michael?
I do remember that. Yeah. And you know, in our minds, you know, at that moment, we were just living in the moment and had no idea, you know, what was around the bend, and we had no way to prepare for it other than what you said, stay humble. And the way to do that, I think, I get, you know, we could go on about this for a long time, Pastor, but at the end of the day, I didn't create myself. I didn't create the voice. I didn't create the anointing. I didn't create the notes. We're just, as you are a steward of the gift God gave you to communicate the gospel. And I think as long as we can keep in perspective that we're not the end all be all masters of our abilities.
Yeah.
I don't want to use the word easy, but it allows you to stay focused. And he did. He God put us on some big stages in front of a lot of people. But I'll tell you this, it was a run that was so intense and so busy that you really didn't have time to stop and notice what was going on. You just went. You did the best you could that day. And, you know, one day you're singing to a small crowd. The next day you're singing to big crowds. And you almost don't feel it change, if that can make sense. You just go do your job, right?
Yeah. I understand it. But see, what was interesting, not long after that, it wasn't too many years after that, all of a sudden, bang, here comes Bill Gaither. And bang, now you're in the Gaither tent, basically. You're in his world. And all of a sudden, there you are. You're on those albums with him and this and that and the big stages, the convention centers. And you're there, and God begins to use you, and you're on the Gaither television, and you go, and all the singing groups, and there you are. And that opened a world for you that was not open to you because of the logistics in the churches. Yeah. Now you're in the churches, but you're in the big events, and people saw you, and pastors would say, I like to have them, and that just opens all kinds of roads for you to go down.
Yeah, it was they used the term game changer. When we did the first video with Bill, and then not long after that, we shot another one. We were in Red Rocks in Denver, Colorado. And there were 10,000 people there that night. And I remember the night of the rehearsal prior to that live taping, Bill pulled Ronnie and I aside. And I remember I'm on his right, Ronnie's on his left. He's got his arms around us. And he said, I'm going to take you boys around the country, world for that matter, with us. And the next thing you know, we're in arenas. And there were, well, here this will give you perspective. I remember we went into Chicago one time. And the arena sat 8,000 people. And I remember walking in thinking, man, this is kind of small tonight.
Yeah,
because he was doing all those big basketball and hockey arenas, and they were full. And it just, but, you know, you wake up in the morning at the arena and you go in, Bill and everybody love to walk. So you might go take a walk with Bill Gaither and Russ Taff for a while. or and then you have lunch with Jay Kess and Guy Penrod or something. It was and everybody was it was just a beautiful little family community. I can honestly say nobody in that entire gang wore the big hat and tried to act like a big deal. We would fellowship and hang out with the guys who hung the speakers and ran the sound and drove the trucks as much as we did each other. And I gotta give Bill Gaither credit. One of the things that really shines through his heart is the word, you used the word community earlier. But Bill wants the family of God to be a community that is united. Similar to, I would say, to John 17, the high priestly prayer, when Jesus is praying to the Father, let these be one as we are one. That's a, man, when that happens, some beautiful things can happen within the body. And I, you know, wasn't perfect, but that's what everybody was striving for.
And you could sense that. I was talking to Donnie Sumner, who's a friend, and I was talking to Donnie, and I said, Donnie, how, you know, and of course he is Elvis, and we know different level, different world there, JD, and that group, and it was a unique thing with what Donnie told me, you know, getting together and on the stage, you have multiple talent. I mean, if you want talent, you point to the stage. Because look at all that's famous, the Goodmans, and you go on and on. And it was a family, and he talked about that to me one day. He said, you know, he said, you get up there, and you're just part of the group, but into stars, basically, if I can use that term. You were, because everyone had a famous ministry. I mean, Dottie Rambo, you know, Dottie, who I had the privilege of meeting right here at the college in Avon Park.
You are wonderful.
I talked to her for a while. But when you look at this, they brought everything together. And that was, again, an amazing name. Event.
Yeah. And it was artists individually. When we went out by ourselves, you know, we could all draw, I don't know, 500, 600, 700, 2,000 people, depending on the
mighty Savior.
You know, you had a good career on your own, put it all together, and man, is it acceptable. Now, I will tell you, in that environment, you don't want to lay down, you know. You want to lay down. You don't want to be the one that dropped the ball. It does, when you're around greatness, it raises the bar. That is a fact. And there's a balance to raising the bar and being it. Nobody was in the wrong definition of intimidated, but we did feel that we had something to deliver. Because you also knew, if I may speak frankly, there's 200 other artists behind us in a line.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And they can't wait.
Yeah. Yeah. So stay humble, but you better do your job, you know?
You know, that's true. That's true. Yeah. You better do your job. And because there's always somebody coming down the road that wants the same opportunity, and they deserve it. A person. Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of that is that. The talent's there. You made a name for yourself over the years that has been solid. I see when we're together. And to do your concert, how the people flew. And of course, Ronnie and the group. What was interesting, you were up in Knoxville, Nashville one day, and I have a cousin up there, and I said, listen, we're going to see the Booth Brothers. I said, that's wonderful. Who are they?
And right.
And she said, oh, yeah. I said, listen, I know them. I said, would you do me a favor? She said, if I can. And I said, would you go and say hello for me? Just say, hey, Ron Zimmer says hello. And I said, don't worry, they'll know who I am. And he and so a couple days passed, and I was talking to her, and I said, hey. And I said, you do a simple favor for me? She says, I couldn't. I said, why? She said, because there was such a giant crowd around them, I could never get to them. And I said, that's fine, no problem. And see, that's what's happened. Your notoriety speaks for itself. Like the other day when we were there, and Margaret and I, and Margaret couldn't come back the next day because she had to work. But I was there, and I was waiting on you guys, and I had no problem waiting. And it is, and I like to watch the people coming up to you. And, of course, Ronnie as well. And hey, and how you respond to them. And a lot of them, perhaps you don't even know them, but a lot of them who I don't think you knew, but the respect that came out of you and Ronnie toward, quote-unquote, your fans, as I stood there for 25 minutes waiting on you, and it was fine.
I did.
Yeah. And just to say hi, for you gave me like 30 seconds or so.
Yeah. I know. I'm sorry.
You walked over and you said, hey, buddy, yes, good to see you. Bye. And you were gone.
Yeah.
Now, Ronnie, I went backstage with Ronnie, and we talked for a little while, and Kim and everybody. Buddy, no, but not Michael. No, Michael was off and running, and we laughed about that. All you told me was God knows. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing Dad taught us when we got started, he taught us to look people in the eye and don't look away when you're talking to them.
That's it. And I noticed that in you. You know, but you didn't do that with me. You looked over my shoulder to see who was standing in line.
That's what you did. Well, there's, look, I don't take advantage or abuse just anybody. You should feel special. I'm very selective, Ron.
Yeah, I know that. I felt good about it, you know?
Now, I got to tell you, as you know, Pastor, you've been in ministry a long time, been around people, and there are some humdingers out there. I mean, sometimes I think, Lord, now if I'm going to spend eternity with this person, we're going to have to both be really sanctified to make this work.
Oh, gee, I understand that. God help me. They're called extra grace people. You know, you just need extra grace. And I know some. Passing over the years, like it's grace to the thousandth power. I mean, we need all the grace in heaven to deal with them, you know. And when you run out of grace, you say, God, more grace here, more grace here.
Yeah. Well, you know, something I learned, and I got to be careful how I define it because it can sound New Age, but I believe it's a spirit thing. It's not an energy thing. So there are people, when they speak to you, they breathe life into you, and there's other people that drain you of life. And I sense there's a lot of hurting people that are in so much pain or are not in a place with the Lord where they draw strength from Him. And I feel like they want to, by osmosis, pull it out of somebody from the platform, you know.
And they do.
Yeah. Oh my goodness! I gotta be honest. It can be, you know. I want to be careful how I talk about that because I don't want to offend anybody.
I understand.
It can just drain the life out of you. And then there's other people. You're one of them that they're just givers. They're just naturally givers. And I think it's the joy, not to oversimplify it, but to speak of how profound and simplistic it is when Christ is the source of your joy and you're resting in it, and he's the source of your energy. He's the source of your joy. He's leading your steps. You can really feed people, be used by God to encourage them and to give them. So I gotta be honest, the ratio is leans lighter on the people who give than those who kind of drain on you. But boy, when they do show up, it sure is fantastic.
I understand that. As a pastor all these years, Michael, I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
There's those that can speak into your life just by going up and go, hi, how you doing? And there's those that it's like everything comes out of you, like you feel after you deal with them, bless their hearts. And I don't think they really understand that. You feel like a wash rag. I mean, just throw it in the sink. Oh, gee. And others just put life in you and others take away. And thank you so much for the compliment. I appreciate that. And it's the way it is. And some people are hurting so badly. And I believe this is, you know, you mentioned it. That's the reason they do what they do. Because they're looking for somebody that they can get some kind of strength or help from. And they go, and every pastor I know has a group like that. And you have you have them too, because some of your followers in the different places that you venue, same thing. They just draw from you. And there's something about ministry that happens. And Jesus had to go away. He had to get across the Transjordan River because they were taking everything out of him. They were pulling all the strength out of him. And he finally said, okay, enough of this. I'm going across the river.
Yeah.
In the way. That's what he did.
Yeah, it shows the humanity side of him. I just had a thought. I'm over 50 now, so sometimes they come and go.
I know. What'd you say?
Oh, gosh. It was going to be good, Pastor.
It was great.
Well, just give me credit that it was.
Yeah, at least it showed up for a second and disappeared. That's a good thing.
Oh, I got it. I got it back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Here's it. So I've kind of, and stop me if I'm going too long, but.
No, this is fun.
I think it's what they're looking for. Again, as I mentioned earlier, it's the source. And when you're on a stage and the spotlight and music is emotional. I'll give you an example. Years ago, this was at a Baptist church in South Florida. We were singing a Christmas concert, and we sang, "Just see if reindeers really know how to fly." And I went up, hit a big, loud, high B flat, and people started raising their hands. Emotionally raising their hands like in worship. And I remember that really stuck with me. And I was actually depressed for a few days because I thought, well, this stuff doesn't matter. They're not listening to the words. I think what God did is he showed me the power of emotion in music. Now be careful with those emotions as people are moved by them, to make sure there's good, solid truth and theology based. But I think often what happens is people are moved by the music, that they're in so much pain and have so much need, and they want to get something from the artist. And the truth of the matter is we don't have anything to offer. I can sympathize, I can empathize, I can listen, but I can't solve the problem. That is Christ and his word. So I wish if I could wave a magic wand or ask the Holy Spirit to do it, just help people to realize it's not the people on stage. It's the message and the truth from the word and from Christ himself and the Holy Spirit. I don't know how to get that across because it takes so long to explain, you know.
Sure. And again, you go in front of people. You don't know who they are. You've never met them again. You never see them again. And you always had a song, "We Never Meet Again," you know. You do that at the end of your concert. And they're there, and they bought a ticket, and they came, and their life is, some are falling apart in every imaginable thing, physically, financially, spiritually, family. Every walk of life sits in those seats. There's those that are joyful and happy and those that are down and they're broken and they don't have any answers. And here comes a song. That's the power of music. Here comes a song, and that song speaks to them. It talks to them, and it changes them, and it helps them. And they leave that concert that day, and they leave with something. And maybe it's a tune that you sang or Ronnie sung or whoever. And it touches them and it ministers to them. And that's the beauty of that. And again, there's times when they go, and so it's like a pastor standing there on the pulpit, and there's an element that's going to get nothing out of whatever you do, and and other people get everything out of everything you do. You try to, and you try your best to help them, but it's not always successful.
Nope.
You know, even though you try, it's just not. And you say, okay, God, that's where you say, all right, I'm gonna sing, and I'm going to do my program and let the Lord lead me. And you leave it at the altar right there, and you, or else it'll drive you crazy. It'll drive you really batty. And you go home, you say, oh, well, you know, that third person in the third row, and they had a blue shirt on, and I'm not sure I got to them.
Yeah.
You just have to leave it there. You just do. And I know you do. And all pastors do as well. You know, we just do. Say, okay, God, we tried, we did, and yours is a little different because you don't have to see him again, okay?
Right, yeah, big difference.
Yeah, it's like an evangelist that comes in and, you know, he shoots a big gun and then he leaves it for the next town, and there you go.
That's why I tell pastors, and when we come in, I'm like, hey, is there anything you need addressed that I'm leaving? I'll blow it up for you.
That's right. Well, I had a guy come in and boo the church up, and it took me 3 weeks to get it back on track. Yeah, really?
That's so funny. Yeah. I tell you what really set me free is, and this, boy, it sounds harsh until you teach it, but I am not. My responsibility is truth, but I am not responsible for results.
That's right.
That is the work of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and His truth. And I think once you, because here's my problem, you know, sometimes you want God to move so bad, you just step up and help Him. You know? And he don't need help. And I've done that. Even a conservative Baptist boy that, you know, that was never around growing up, not around much emotion in church, you still want God to move, and you still want people to be changed, and so you got, as a younger person, you got to figure out when to let go and quit trying, because, man, these gifts and abilities that God gives people to speak and to perform music, man, you can emotionally manipulate people.
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't mean it sticks Monday morning when real life is facing them. If it was a genuine move of God, then it'll be applicable and tangible on Monday. But if it was manipulated by man, I mean, it ain't going to last past 9 a.m. on Monday.
That's right. And that's so true for everything. Yeah. Anything like that, any stage person, you can have a congregation any direction you wish. And the flesh profiteth nothing. And you say, okay, God, we want to, you know, sing a song today, maybe this program today. And, you know, sometimes I guarantee you this has happened to you. You had your program, X amount of songs you could sing in the time allotted. And you got to a point where you said, no, we're not going to do this next song. And then you do something else. And that was a song someone really needed to hear out in that audience that day.
That just happened Friday night. A song that I had actually, make a long story without going in detail, I pulled it and then pulled it from a place that was going to be earlier in the program. And then, you know, I felt led to put it back in later. And a lady, a few people, but one in particular came up and basically said that that's what I needed to hear. And that was not the the big dynamic song. I think, you know what it was? I am loved, I can risk loving you. And here's the line, for the one who knows me best loves me most. And that's what she needed to hear. The one who knows me best loves me the most. What she was dealing with was condemnation, and it was preventing her from leaning in to God's grace, to not only enjoy Him but to serve Him. Isn't that beautiful?
Wow. See, and God will put things just like that. And you never know, this is the song that I'm not sure if I should. And you do it, and that's the song that needs to be done. Or anything in ministry like that, anything in ministry where you say, why did I say that? What? Wow. And the Spirit of God will give you something to say. And it's not what you were thinking, but God gives it to you under the anointing, and it's exactly what they need.
Yeah, it's almost like you're in third person sometime watching. And you, while your lips are moving and words are coming out, you're thinking, huh, this is interesting.
Yeah. And that's a God. Yeah. And Michael, that's a God moment. Right there is a God moment in that in that second where you know. Yeah. God knows.
God. Yeah, that's right.
That's what you said. Right. For those that don't know that's listening in, we have people listening in from all over the world right now. Pastor Gore is listening from Pakistan.
Oh, wow. Hello from Pakistan. My goodness.
Yeah, Grace Point International, Pakistan. She's associated with our networks, and she's listening right now. Great pastor. Does a wonderful job, and her name is Pastor Gloria, so she's listening in right now. So we have people listening everywhere. But what's amazing, for those that don't know what God knows means, the Booth brothers came to the church back in the day when they were very new doing what they did. And they had a song like the first or second album, and their father was on it, and it was called God Knows. And it became my favorite song in the album of all the songs God Knows. And so here comes the Booth brothers. Here comes the Booth brothers. And I said, hey, guys, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to sing God Knows.
Yeah.
And so they said, come up here and sing God Knows with us.
That's right.
Remember that, Michael? And I went up there and I said, listen, do you want to ruin your ministry right now?
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'll stand up here, and you guys sing, and I'll just kind of go through the motions.
Yeah, you just, you big old sissy.
And you guys, you know, I don't know what, you know, what God knows, and so and so. And I sung the song. So, and I sat down, I felt so good about myself that I was on stage with the Booth brothers.
Oh, you were the fourth Booth brother. can I make a confession about that song?
Yeah.
Because often we sing for you on Sunday mornings. Which we rarely, if ever, do now. And honestly, it's because the voices are just, as we get older, it's just hard. But that was a go-to song. You also mentioned if we never meet again this side of heaven. Those were our morning songs because they were so easy. We always were very happy to sing those. And fortunately, you liked them. And so as you showed interest in them, we wanted to confirm with absolute certainty that is a great idea. It was vocally easy to deal with.
I had no problem.
Yeah. It was a mutual benefit to each other. I'll say that.
Well, you know, with that in mind, now I know that I helped you guys that way, and I feel much better when I say, "Hey, I just want you to know, I was with the Booth Brothers on stage, and right.
Well, that's probably why Bill Gaither called. He's like, I'm not sure who that other guy is, but I've heard about you guys."
That's so true. That is so fantastic. And so I tell all my friends, I said, "Hey, did you ever sing with the Booth Brothers?" No. What? I said, yeah.
Not many have. But
not many have, but I was the one.
That's right. You're on the list.
That is funny. So some good times, Michael. Some great times.
Yeah. And they were pure and sweet and innocent, and I will treasure them, Pastor. I really do. I mean what I say. They were at a time when things were much more simple. That's another discussion for another day. But I look back on them with layers of fond memories. Yeah.
And that, you know, those days was your grooming place in the groups.
Yeah.
And bang, God just began the work.
Yeah.
And when you would come back with Joseph, I remember Joseph being in the group and that situation. And every time you came in this area, which you don't anymore, and that's fine. Yeah. And you were at the college one time, and we were there, and you're at a place called Tanglewood, which is a senior citizen. Remember that? And you were there.
It's been a long time.
Years and years. And Ronnie was living in Sebring, right down the road.
And, right.
And they were the simpler days. Yeah. They were.
Hey, do you have a couple minutes? Can I share one more?
Sure, absolutely.
So. I won't mention any, but there was a young trio, that ladies trio that wanted to get started, and someone in their camp knew me and asked me if I would come speak to them. And I said, well, I'm more than happy to. So Vicky and I went over and met with all of them. And it was probably, you know, half dozen people in the room, and we're all talking. And I said, okay, what can I do for you ladies? And the first question they asked was, how much should we charge? and now, mind you, they hadn't sung a lick. They hadn't sung out or done anything. And I remember trying to hide the stunned look that I know my face was showing. And I said, ladies, you're going to have to sing a couple hundred times to figure out what you are.
That's right.
I said, literally, a couple few hundred times. I said, here's why. I said, you got to be able to sing in a fundamental independent Baptist church Sunday morning, in a Pentecostal church Sunday night, and the next week you sing in a Presbyterian church, and then a charismatic church, and then a Free Methodist and a Primitive Baptist. I said, because the day, if you grow to where we are, the day will come when all of them are in your audience at one time.
That's right.
So here's my thing for you, Pastor. We've never discussed this. I believe you and there was one other church, New Covenant Church of God in Tampa, Florida. Again, we're coming from very quiet, conservative Baptist, fundamental, independent, King James only Baptist churches, you know, where they did not respond emotionally. And I wouldn't trade anything for that, because you had to know deep within your spirit whether or not God was moving or not. Okay. But I believe he sent us to you and to New Covenant because you guys were loving and gentle with us to expose us to our Pentecostal brothers and sisters and allowed us to learn how to communicate, receive and to communicate with that way of worshiping and that theology and doctrine. And how do I, as someone who has a, in some respects, a different set of doctrine, how do I go in and minister to people that and believe some things that we're not on the same page with, but build unity and encourage one another, and musically be able to handle that. And I'm telling you, it is priceless, absolutely priceless. You see how God did that? And I don't know if you've ever thought about that. Can you see what I'm talking about?
Yeah, because you were exposed to something that you were not accustomed to being around or raised in. Yeah. And you responded well. I mean, the clapping of hands and the raising of hands and everything.
The dancing. Yeah. I remember there was a lady who she used to kick her legs up forward, up and down. I mean, just immediately, and then it shocked me. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. You know? And here's what I had to learn. I tried to figure out, okay, is this emotionalism? Is it God? Is it, okay, if this is the spirit, then I've never seen this before. I need to figure out I don't want to get in the way of anything that is genuine. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it all. I've seen ungenuine quietness as much as ungenuine expression. And God, you can deal with that. But boy, when the real thing shows up, when people's hearts are so overjoyed, I always say this way, I've got to have at least 30% Pentecostals in our crowd now. Or it makes it so much better.
And your big promoter, Bill, is a Pentecostal, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I kid you not. I'm telling you, it the Pentecostal brothers and sisters help the experience of a gospel concert. Like it just makes it's night and day. It's just beautiful, and it's interesting to me how the body of Christ functions when we're all on the same page. You know.
There you go. And that's so true. And there's different expressions, there's different functioning, but one spirit, God works in one person one way, and God works in another person another. And you say, okay, God, you work and you deal in them and with them the way they're comfortable with doing it. And it's fine. Yeah. I have no problem because I have a lot of friends that are all the different tracks. And they're friends, and we get along, and we say, okay, they this and that, as long as they're not, the doctrine is solid doctrine. Yeah. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He is Lord. As long as that is in place, okay.
Yeah.
We shout a little more, we're more expressive than you are. That's okay. That's all right. You know, one time in this area, we had a wonderful, wonderful group of pastors here. Let me just tell you a story. It's so funny. And we would meet on Wednesdays at noon in one of the local restaurants. And there'd be weeks that everybody, you know, you'd have a mixed group because everybody's busy. But there was groups sometimes that we had about 10 guys would sit of the local churches. And we'd sit in this popular restaurant in Avon Park, which is probably the most popular restaurant in there. And we had fun. We all took our ecclesiastical order, and we dropped it to the floor, and we were just friends and fellowship. That's what we do. And the town began to notice. People in the town would begin to notice. Oh, there's all the pastors in town. There's this, and it was there's this, but and there's that. It was here's the spiritual leaders in town. I was president of the Association of Ministries, and the guy across the table at one time he was president, and a guy next to me he followed me. But what was what was really funny is we would tell these stories, and the town would listen in, and like the Baptist guy, you know, who's very strong on evangelism, he said, I went out last week, and I found this guy, and I got him saved, and, you know, and it's good, and I had some people that that got him saved and so on and so on. He said, but you know what? The way we worship is not what the guy wanted. So he went over to the Methodist church and called the pastor's name. And in that Methodist church, he learned classical Christianity, and he learned the Wesleyan method and all this. And he got tired of that. Then he went over to the Lutheran church because he wanted the ecclesiastical order, and he wanted that silence, and he wanted the church to last 49 minutes. And then he got tired of that, and he went over to Ron's church, and he jumped up and down and ran aisles and clapped his hands and shouted hallelujah till he got hoarse. And then, what happened? Every pastor there had, we were all different groups. And then he said, know what happened? He left here, and he went out in the world, and I went and I got him in getting back in church. And the people heard that sing around us, and they all laughed and one time somebody said, you mean you guys aren't angry? Angry? This is fun.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah.
You know, it got around. They set the table for us. And this, Michael, this went on for years.
Wow.
And when a guy was missing, I wonder where so-and-so is. And
yeah.
And a member of the church would say, oh, he's out of town this week. I'll tell him you asked for him. That's what happened. And the town had there was a unity like in all the places I've ever been. I've never seen anything like it. But it was exactly that. You say, okay, God, you work, you minister to different people, but here's the end result, is that it doesn't matter who scores the touchdown as long as the team wins.
Yeah, right? I love that. It's beautiful. I like how one pastor said, the closer we get to the gospel, the less arguing there should be.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's just a beautiful picture of how that, you know, it's funny what you're describing reminds me of the Gaither tour, because we were all different, all different. We just focused on Jesus is the only one who can redeem your soul. He's the Son of God. He's the second person in the Trinity. That's what we focused on. And Bill Gaither would always say, I be lifted up. If Christ be lifted up, he will draw all men to him. So.
Amen. Yeah, and that's the way it is. And we know that's true.
Yeah.
We know that's true. And the enemy is not the guy across town. The enemy is the devil. The devil's the enemy of us all.
Yeah.
And he's the one that is the destroyer and the accuser. And the body of Christ, I don't have any problems. Like Jamie's listening now. Jamie comes on right after me at one. And Jamie Hernandez, okay, goes to a different church. I invited Jamie on because when I was doing radio for other stations, I saw something in Jamie. And then when we developed our own radio station, I wanted Jamie on. And Jamie, I know he's listening. Jamie does a super job on Let's Talk Jesus. And the difference is the difference, because he has followers. He has people that come on the air to listen to Jamie, and they don't listen to me, and that's fine. Hey, that's okay, because the mission is to minister, and that's what we try to do.
Right. That's a fact. We keep going back and forth, but musically it's the same. The people that listen... one of the worst beatings we ever took was we were singing with the McCameys one time in Lenore, North Carolina. And let's just say the McCameys fans like the McCameys.
Yeah.
They were not in love with the Booth brothers, you know? And so the God gifted the McCameys to communicate with that crowd in a manner that I simply can't. I cannot reach them the way they can. So I'm happy to be used. Look, at the end of the day, I look at scripture. I believe I am accountable to what I see as truth and to speak that. And then the rest of it is up to God.
That's right.
To to deal with. And that allows, it's so beautiful. It allows me to, you know, to minister alongside people that if I thought differently, I would never have those opportunities.
That's right. That's right.
I think you and I are a good example of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, God opens doors and he shuts them, and you go to a place and you go, uh-oh, how am I going to minister to this culture?
Yeah.
You know, how am I minister here? And at the end of the day, you do your best. God gets the glory, and you place it at his feet, and you go about your business. And that's what you do, and that's how you live. And that's, I've seen that in the Booth Brothers all these years, and your concerts, and knowing you guys as well as I do. And we still haven't gone out to, I told you we need to go, I'll buy you lunch, but we never got connected. I told Ronnie that, and I can't get, Ronnie lived down the street.
I know. Hey, since we weren't able, could you just send me the money you would have spent on?
Yeah, I was gonna take you to McDonald's and buy you a number one.
Hey, that's like $15 now.
That's really fun. Michael, I love you. Let me just tell my audience right here, we're talking to the Booth Brother, Michael Booth of the Booth Brothers, and I have two of great albums that Michael got me some autographs for, and it's called Speak Jesus, and it's autographed, and it has the number two song last week of all the Southern Gospel songs, and I'm looking at it right now, and it's a marvelous song, and it spoke to me when I listened to it. It's called Stand in the Storm. It's on number two in Southern Gospel. And then I have another autograph, and it says, take another step. And again, it's all autographed as well. And one of my favorite songs in there is called For God So Loved. They do a great job of that. And what I'm going to do is, in the next few minutes, if you'd want one of the albums, Take Another Step and or Speak Jesus, just use the Contact Us page, send it in. And the first person that comes to me with that, I'll send you either, just write the name, just put Speak Jesus if you want that album, and put Take Another Step and put that there if you want that one, and I'll get them to you, you know, and you'll be blessed. They're autographed by the gang, and I know you're going to be blessed by that. So you can do that, and you, even after we go off air, you can go and send the contact, and we'll send the album to you. If I don't have your address or don't know how to get in contact with me, just on the form, just fill it out, and I'll mail it to you, okay? And we'll get that to you. I know you're going to be blessed by the Booth Brothers. And be touched. Michael, I enjoyed being with you today. You're a friend.
Yeah, likewise. I miss you, my friend. So thank you for this time, and appreciate everybody allowing us to jabber on for a while.
Yeah, and it's great to know that we still have a lot of fun in our being. That's right. And as one of your albums, you have a song called In Our Old Age. I'm gonna play that right now, and it's gonna remind me of you.
I love it. That's funny.
Michael, send my love to the family, your dad, of course, Ronnie, when you see them, and the group, and of course your family. Love you, man. Talk to you again.
Love you, Pat. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.